Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim Daf Tzadik Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah B'tarfen Oimer, in Bishol B'tchilas Haregel. If somebody cooked a carbon at the beginning of Yontif, and we've been learning in our shiurim that the halach is that if you cook a carbon, you have to do Merikah V'shtifa. Now Rav Tarfon teaches us that if you cook a carbon at the beginning of Yontif, Merikah V'shtifa are not required. Yivash by Kol HaRegel, you could use this pot, this pan, this whatever, for the entire duration of Yontif, and only do Merikah V'shtifa at the end of Yontif. The Chum Aymerim, the Chum say, Ad Zman Achila. You could only use that pot as long as the carbon can be eaten. So, for example, if you use the pot for carbon shlamim, you could use the pot without Merikah V'shtifa for 2 days and 1 night, which is the Zman of a carbon shlamim. If you used it for carbon chatos, then the halacha is that you only have Yoyim V'layla 1 day and 1 night. Merikah V'shtifa. So now the Mishnah goes on to define Merikah V'shtifa. Merikah means Kamerikah Sakois. V'shtifa K'shtifa Sakois. So the way Rashi explains this, Rashi explains that Merikah V'shtifa represents the way we wash out the cup, Akos Shel Bracha, that the Merikah is done inside the cup, and the outside the cup, and V'shtifa is done outside the cup, as I said, as what we do by Kosh Shel Bracha. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis, which is a little hard to understand based on what we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, says that the Merikah V'shtifa, Merikah means that if there's anything attached to the cup from inside, that is Merikah. And after we rinse it well, that if there's anything attached to the cup, we do then the next step is Shtifa, after we did the first step, we just now rinse it out, and that's called Shtifa. So again, says the Mishnah, Merikah V'shtifa, when we speak about Merikah V'shtifa, Kamerikah Sakoif, V'shtifa Sakoif, as we just explained, it's what's done when we rinse out a Kosh Bracha. Well, Merikah V'shtifa, the Merikah V'shtifa that we're speaking about, is done b'tzoinen with cold water. However, hashvud, the spit on which they put the meat when they're roasting the meat, v'askala, there's some sort of like a pan or whatever that you put the meat on as you're roasting the meat. So those require kashering. And therefore, says the Mishnah, magilan b'chama. So now, of course, the question is, we know that the fundamental rule to thinking about kashering is Kabbalah Kach Paltoi. The way the absorption took place, that's how you have to expel what was the absorbed. And if something was boiled, so it was boiled in water, the kashering is with Hagolah. But if something was absorbed through fire, the way you kasher it is with fire, which is known as Liban, not Hagolah. So these various pieces of equipment that we just identified are all types of equipment that there's direct fire. And therefore, the halacha should be that Hagolah is inadequate. And why does our Mishnah say that Hagolah is good enough? So this is a question that we actually learned in Masechet Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin Vav. And the Gemara says that the halacha is that the case of our Mishnah is that they never really became non-kosher. In other words, as we'll see this in the Gemara also, we cook today carbon chatos, and tomorrow we cook the carbon shlamim. Or today we cooked in it a carbon shlamim afterwards. So since it's constant use, there's a concept of kol yoyim v'yoyim nasa gil chaveroi. If it never really became treif, because you used it before it became non-kosher, there Hagolah is going to be, there Kagola is going to be satisfactory. But the Briskarov says that our Mishnah is speaking about strictly a Shvud v'Askelon, that the halacha is that indeed, normally we have to use Liban. However, since over here they were not used in such a very serious fashion, I'm not exactly sure what that even means, but that's what the Briskarov says. That's why Hagol is enough. Ask the Gemara. My time, we started the Mishnah with the opinion of Reb Tarfon. And the opinion of Tarfon was most interesting. The opinion of Tarfon was most interesting because Reb Tarfon said that you don't have to do Marika Vishtika until the end of Yontif. And why is that the halacha? Answers the Gemara, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, "Uvashalta v'achalta v'makom shivcha Hashem al kachaboy v'fanisu v'poyka v'alachta halacha." You should stay till the morning in Yerushalayim, and only then return home and explain the Rishonim. It can't, Rashi explains, it can't possibly mean the first morning of Yontif, because the first day of Yontif, the first day of Yontif is Yontif, and one is not allowed to travel in Yontif. So can't possibly, he explains, say that it's Yontif. So once it's not the first day, it must be talking about the end of Yontif. Says the Gemara, of halach the balacha. So what the Torah is doing, says the Gemara, the Torah made the entire duration of the 7 days of Yontif as Boiker Echad, as one long day. And since the Torah treats the entire duration of Yontif as one long day, so now we can well understand why Marika V'Shtifa is not, we don't have to do Marika V'Shtifa until Yontif is over. The Pasuk says, V'chisiz b'chu zevach shlomim l'Hashem, that we know, as we're learning, that you have to eat the carbon shlomim must be eaten within 2 days and one night. And this is the pasuk that teaches us a halacha that we've learned so extensively. And now, Masechta, that if you have a machsheves pigel, they're going to eat from the carbon after 2 days and one night. If that was the machsheva you had when you brought the carbon would become pigel. Ask the Gemara, Maskov l'Rav Achtuvi Bar Ami v'chi she'ein pigel b'regel. But if we're saying that ask the Gemara, that the entire 7 days of Yontif are considered like one long day, so does that mean that if you had a machshavan for day three, that won't be pigel? Vei nois beregel? Or does that mean if you leave the carbon over past 2 days and one night, the carbon wouldn't be pigel? Says the Gemara, v'chi teima hachinami. And if one would suggest that indeed so is the halacha, that since the pasuk is treating yontif like one long day, there is the regular pigel, the regular dinner pigel, and the regular dinner noisa wouldn't apply. Ask them about Tanya Reb Nosso Aymer, Le'yav Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon said that all of Yontif is considered like one day, only Zubavad, only as far as Dalokha Marika V'Shtifa, not for any other application. Says the Gemara, Ella, the reason that Reb Tarfon holds that you don't have to do Marika V'Shtifa until after Yontif, says the Gemara, Kerav Nachman Amar Reb Avua, Dam Reb Nachman Amar Reb Avua, Kol Yoyim V'Yoyim, as we mentioned this Svara earlier, Nasigil Chaveroi. What the Gemara is speaking about, explained the Rishonim, when you cook the carbon shlomim today, and as we just finished explaining, the amount of time you can eat a carbon shlomim is 2 days and one night, so it doesn't become problematic, the blia doesn't become problematic if I brought the carbon today till tomorrow night. If I will cook in that pot something tomorrow, the cooking in that pot tomorrow will act as a gil, as a kashering for that pot. And however, point out to Rishonim, we have to keep track of what the pot was used for. If the pot was used for Shlomim, so as we just said, by Shlomim you get 2 days and one night. But if it's not a Karban Shlomim, if it's a Karban Chatas, for example, and you cooked a Karban Chatas in the pot today, so it will be nicer by tomorrow morning. So if you did not cook something in that pot before tomorrow morning, so then it will not have been properly kashered, and then you're going to have to do a separate kashering. What the Gemara means is that we don't have to, that on Yontif, since there's such an abundance of karbonis, and the pots and pans are used on such a regular basis, that's why there's no problem. That's why we don't have to do a separate Marika Vishtifa. Again, of course, the question is that during Yontif, a 7-day Yontif, there's going to be a Shabbos. So on Shabbos, we can't cook. So we can't cook on Shabbos. All the pots that were used on Friday for whatever type of kabbonis, by Motzei Shabbos, they're going to have Marika Vishtifa. And the question that the Mefarshim ask is, why did the Gemara not mention that eventuality? Says the Gemara, the Chama's opinion is that it doesn't make a difference, Yontif, any other time, if you use the pot, you have to kasher it, you have to do Marika Vishtikfa by the time of eating that carbon is up. My Kamer. So the Gemara explains exactly what did the Chama mean to say in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Aravua, Mamtan Lo Zman Nachila, as we just said, you wait until the time that you could eat this carbon is up, v'hada avalei, and then you do Marika Vishtifa. So Tysus points out that we learned in our Masech the concept that we're not allowed to bring Kachim l'beis apsul. We have to avoid letting Kachim become apostle. So now, what's the right thing to do? Should we wait until the Bliya becomes nicer and then at that point do the kashering, or should we make sure to kasher before it becomes nicer? So Taisa says that the fact that we just learned in the Gemara the concept of kol yoyim v'yoyim nasigil chaveroi means that it becomes nicer and then we kasher. But you could disagree. You could say that it's done before it becomes nicer. So the Rishonim say, it's not clear how to understand what the Gemara meant to say now with the opinion of the Chachamim. Did the Gemara mean to say with the opinion of Chachamim that it is going to be nicer? Or did the Gemara mean to say with this opinion of the Chachamim that it's not necessarily going to be nicer? The reason that the Chachamim disagree with Reb Tarfon, because the Svara that Reb Tarfon offered of Kol Yoyim Nasagil L'Chaveroi, explained the Mefarshim, is a very strong Svara. Why did Chachamim disagree? So the Ravid explains, and we really alluded to this. The Ravid says, whenever you're going to be relying on Kol Yoyim Nasagil L'Chaveroi, you're going to have a situation that you have to keep track of where this pot is up to. And sometimes you may make a mistake and think that you're using the pot in enough time and you didn't. And therefore, Chacham just said, just kasher it all the time. Says the Gemara, Menonimili, where do we know this from? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Abba Yoisi Ben Abba, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Murug Vishutuf Mamayim. And the Pasuk also says, Uksiv Kol Zocha Bekanim Yochel Eisa, Ha Kaitzad, Mamtel Az Ma'ad Achila, wait till it becomes the time that it's expired, the Bliya became nicer, V'hav Avalei Midrik V'shtifa, Yidu Marik V'shtifa. So as the Mishnah described, how Marik V'shtifa are done. Says the Gemara, we learned, Marika means Kamarika Sakais, And shtifa means kishtifa k'sakais. Tana about a marika v'shtifa, but soin in divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that the marika v'shtifa are done with cold water. My tamad rab, v'cham amrim, and v'tsoin in divrei Rebbe, v'cham amrim, marika b'chanan. The marika was done with hot water, and the shtifa, he says, is done with cold water. Ask the Gemara, my tamad the rabbanan, why, asked the Gemara, was Marika done with hot water? Says the Gemara, made it to have a gilev kachavim. Just like when one comes to kasher a pat that was used for something not kasher, the halacha tells us that we should do, we have to kasher it with hot water. That's why over here as well, the way the kashering is done, it's done with hot water. Rabbi Amalach, and Rabbi says, Hagol aloi kamina. Rabbi says that, and we've learned this pshat, our Mishnah, when it speaks about Marika v'shtifa, is not focused on the Hagolah part. Ki kamina, we're focused on a halacha that we mentioned previously, the Marika v'shtifa, the bas Hagolah, that we learned that after Hagolah, you're supposed to rinse whatever you kashered with cold water, and that's the halacha, that's part of what we learned of Marika v'shtifa. Says the Brisker Rav, as we discussed previously, the proper procedure for kashering is to rinse whatever you kasher with cold water. So if that's the case, asked the Brisker Rav, so what is so special about the Marika v'shtifa that's done in the Beis HaMikdash v'kachim? So explains the Brisker Rav, the way to understand this is that there's a chiv to kasher, and there's a chiv to rinse whatever you kasher with cold water. And on top of all that, there's another halacha, that a special mitzvah by kachim to do marika v'shtifa. Again, v'rebi amalach hagola loy kamina. I am not focused on hagola, ki kamina la marika v'shtifa debasa hagola. Ask the Gemara, im kain, if Rebbe's opinion is the marika and shtifa, if Rebbe's opinion is the marika v'shtifa are both done with cold water, lichta kra aymarik marik or shaitif shaitif. Why does the Torah use different words? Mai umarik v'shaitif, shmamina. Doesn't that indicate the fact that the Torah used different words, that marika is done with chamin and shtifa is done with cold water? For Rebbe, so the fact that the Torah used different words is very much an indication that that Marika and Shtifa are not identical. So Rebbe, if they're both done with cold water, why doesn't the Pasuk use the same word twice? Answers Rebbe, Iksiv, if the Torah would have said Marik Marik, the same word, haven't been a tradesman in Marik. Says the Gemara, very simple teretz. Marika v'shtifa, even though they're both done with cold water, teaches us Rebbe, they're not the same type of rinsing, especially the way we learned. One is inside, one is outside, one is scrubbing, and one is just rinsing. That's why, to show that they're not the same, Marik v'shtif, lemelach shemarika k'marika sakayif, v'shtifa k'shtifa sakayif, the various pshatim inside and outside, or one more intense, one less intense. Says the Mishnah, Bishabai, if somebody has a vessel, and in that vessel he cooked kachim v'chulin, or kachim v'kachim kalim, im yesh bem nois and tam. If the meat that has the more severe halacha gives tam to the meat that has the less severe halacha, that means the kachim give tam to the chulin, the kachim kalim give tam, the kachim give tam to the kachim kalim. So then, if we have the tam of the, we have to follow the halacha of the more severe. Harei kalim necholim kechamurim. Ve'enetun amarika v'shtifa will not require amarika v'shtifa. The kli that if it has the taste of kachim kalim, ve'enem boilim mamaga, and the kachim kalim don't become puzzle just because something touched it. But then says the Mishnah, rokik shenogib rokik, if you have a wafer, which we explain is one of the types of kaban mincha, the rokik that's pasul touched the rokik that's kosher, and now we have blia, says the Gemara, v'chaticha b'chaticha, or two pieces of meat. One piece of meat is pasul carbon, and one is not. Shiloi kol arkika v'loi kol chaticha surin. The blia that goes through is ena osu elba makam maga. Only in the place that they actually touched is there going to be concern for blia, not anything else. Of course, as we learn Yoyredeya, there's many details around this halacha. One detail around this halacha is, of course, that it has to both be hat. If they're not hat, then the halacha is that there won't be any absorption, unless it's very fatty. If something is davar shumin, even if it's not hat, the tam goes through. But there's a difference if it's an issa shumin. If it's something that's very fatty, then it penetrates all the way, versus an issa kochush. If it's not that fatty, it does not, then the halacha is that it does not penetrate that significantly. Says the Gemara. My Kamar, the Mishnah said that the Mishnah spoke about tam, and the Gemara says that when we have tam, we learned there should be a problem. And then the Mishnah says that we don't have to be worried. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. If this tam traveling from what is more chomer to what is more kal, from the kachim to kachim kalim, from the kachim to the chulin. So now the halacha is, harei kalin nachalim kumachamurim. Then the halacha is the kalin attain the halacha of the chamurim. And all of the halachas of kachim will be, all the halachas of kachim will be relevant. If, however, betunin and the halacha merik v'shtifa will also be there. Tuna Marika Vishtifa. Upaisla Mamaga. If the something which is more chomer came in contact with something that's less, then the thing that's less will attain the halacha of the thing that's more chomer. However, aim by nice and tam, if there's no tam traveling from the chomer to the kal, so then the halacha is ain cha kalim the chalm kachamurim, vein tuna Marika Vishtifa. The Gemara says that the halacha is that if the chamurim did not give tam to the kalim, the halacha is that there's no requirement for rika ashtifa. But ask the Gemara, yes, if you're going to tell me, says the Gemara, that the kachim did not have the ability to give tam to the kachim kalim. So ask the Gemara, now the kachim Leibai, they don't have the loch of kachim, but kachim kalim leibai. They still are considered kachim kalim, says the Gemara. And if that's the case, so they should require marika v'shtifa as kachim kalim. Answers the Gemara. Am abaya ma in tunin kamar. Says the Gemara. What the Mishnah meant to say was they don't require marika v'shtifa at the point where you would not be able to eat kachim anymore. Aval kachim kalim, at the point that kachim kalim can't be eaten anymore, it will require marika v'shtifa because it's no worse than any kachim kalim. Rav has a different way of explaining the Mishnah. He says, Hamani, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? He says, the Tan of our Mishnah is Rav Shimon he, and Rav Shimon's opinion is that kachim kalim ain't tuna marika v'shtika. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rava, Hanan Tani, we understand why the Mishnah spoke about two cases, kachim v'chulim, and kachim and kachim kalim. And the Mishnah is coming to teach us that we pass in like Rav Shimon, that kachim kalim do not require marika v'shtifa. El abaya, that requires marika v'shtifa even by kachim kalim, tati lomali. Why did the Mishnah have to speak about two different cases? Both the case of chulin and kachim kalim and kachim kalim. They're all the same point. Answer my tshricha. Rabbi tells us, even though there is a marika v'shtika in both cases, it's by Kochim Kalim, the Mishnah had to speak about both cases. Why? Trichi. Deitana Kochim Chulim. If the Mishnah had only spoken about Kochim Chulim, have a mina who Chulim Mavatim Kochim. If you cook Chulim and Kochim, and the Kochim don't have the ability to give tam to the Chulim, so that's when the Kochim become bottle. The Lav Minayu. Because a very important concept whenever we speak about bittel is min b'minoi and min shein b'minoi. And when it's min b'shein b'minoi, it's much easier to apply the concepts of bittel. So if one is kachim and one is not, it's very easy to apply the concept of bittel. But in a case of kachim, 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 kalim, so now we have a situation of both a kachim. If they're both kachim, perhaps that's a case of min b'minoi. It's not perhaps. It is a case of min b'minoi. And if it's a case of min b'minoi, maybe there we don't say dalocha bittel. V'tana kachim 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 kalim. Have min hu dalim levatel kachim hu dalim levatel kachim. Kachim have the ability to mevatel kachim. Avol, but chulin v'kachim. Chulin do not have the ability to mevatel kachim. That's why to teach us that no, the din of bittel is not dependent of its kachim or its chulin. It's dependent on nois and tam and not. That's why Abaye says that even though I am not agreeing, I'm holding this merikah v'shtif by kachim kalim, the Mishnah needed to teach us both cases to tell us that in both cases, both by chulin and kachim, and by kachim, kachim and kachim kalim, we apply the halacha bittel. The Mishnah said, rekik shenogak berekik. If we have two pieces of wafer and they touched each other, so the Mishnah taught us the spat where they touch, that's where you have to take off where that the blia of the rekik that's posel or the rekik that's hegdish. Tanabana kala shiiga yocha afila shloi bala. The halacha applies even when there is no blia. Tamaloima, the pasuk says b'psara. At Shivala Bipsara. The halacha that we're learning now is only when there is Bliya. But the Baal HaTanya makes a very interesting point. He says, here we're learning that in order for it to become problematic, all you need to have is Nagiya. All you need to have is that they touch each other. The moment that they touch each other, is the halacha that we have a problem. But when it comes to Kedusha, just touching is insufficient. He says if you want to absorb Kedusha, it really has to go into you all the way. There has to be a real blia that you should attain Kedusha. Says the Gemara, Naga b'miksas chaticha, if it only touched, Yachal Naga b'miksas chaticha, if it only touched partially, says the Gemara, Yachal Yekula Pasal, it should be all pasur, tells us the pasuk, hanageya pasur, only we are touched. Hakaitzad, what does that mean? Chaitech makim shabala, the locha teaches us that you cut away the place where there was absorption. But psara, furthermore, says the brisa, this halacha of blia is only when you have two pieces of meat, two wafers. However, when it touches the gidim, the veins, that sums the bones, kanaim, the horns, tofaim, the hoofs, yikacha. The halacha is liyas kamaisai. Hakeis impsuli to pasol, vimcheri to echel kacham shabai. Since you have here a real blia, then the halacha is when you have a real blia, it gets the whole halacha. There are two ways of looking at this Gemara, the Rishonim tell us. One is tam kikr. The tam that's problematic goes into the other thing. And the other thing is hetem etzdarif lesser. And the stipler points out that even though it might seem that these two concepts of tam kik and hetem etzdarif lesser are the same, but they're not really the same at all. He says, first of all, tam kikr is a much stricter halacha than hetem etzdarif lesser. He says, when we say tam kikr tells us that something that was kosher, that attained the tam of Isser, that kosher meat is now Isser. But when we say Hetem Mitzdarf L'Isser, it means that we have partial Heter and we have partial Isser. Maybe we don't have enough of each. And Hetem Mitzdarf L'Isser tells us that they could combine to be the Shear. If you need a Kazayis, so Hetem Mitzdarf L'Isser looks at it as if you had a Kazayis. But it doesn't mean that the Heter became Isser. Where this will be very relevant is if somebody had to eat a Kazayis of matzah. Is a half a Kazayis at all a mitzvah? Or is a half Kazayis meaningless? It would be most relevant in a situation, the Pesach can discuss, where there's only one Kazayis matzah and you have two people. Is it better that each person should eat a Kazayis or a Chatzi Kazayis, and then neither of them will fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety? Or is it better that one person should eat the entire Kazayis, and at least that person will fulfill the mitzvah? Of course, taking that option has with it its own set of difficulties, because if you're going to say that one should eat the Kazayis, who is that one? Ask the Gemara. Amai, why does the boss of Shlomim, when it came in contact with Karmachatis, become puzzle? The Nicene essay asked the Gemara, why don't we say that the mitzvahs assay of eating kachim that is learned from the pasuk that says v'achlo isam should be doicha the lois assay of eating kachim that apostle which is based on a lav of loya oichel kikoy d'shem. And as Tosus points out, we're not talking about if Shlomim got tam chattis that we should be able to eat it the second day. Because that would be noiser. And noiser is a lav sheesh bekaris. And Taisha says that even when we say Esa Doichel Eisa say, it doesn't apply by something that comes with karis. We're talking about other psulim, says Taisha, that don't carry an Esa karis. So again, ask the Gemara Mai, why don't we say the nice essay for Doichel Eisa say, Amarava, to which Rava responds, "Ain esed doich leisa say shem mikdash. There is no esed doich leisa say on the base of mikdash. Shenema, as the pasuk says by the carbon pesach, the Torah says that's a moisish brubay. We're not allowed to bake any bone of the carbon pesach. Shema menashe oimer echad etzim sheish b'mayach. Whether it's a bone that has marrow in it, vechad etzim sheish b'mayach." Even if it's a bone that doesn't have marrow in it. So now the question is, Mai, why is that halacha? Why don't we say, Nasi essay, let the essay of eating the Karban Pesach, the Pasuk says, V'achol z'pasuk, pasuk b'lay lazeh, and b'daycha the loisa say, v'etzim loisish b'rubay. Ella, it's a right that ain't essa daycha loisa say, b'migdish. Why is that? So I saw many different explanations. One explanation is that the whole premise of Ein Esa Doichel Eisa Say is that an essay is stronger than a mitzvah essay. The essay is a stronger chiyuv than the aveira of the lois essay. But that's not a aveira in the Beis HaMikdash. An aveira in the Beis HaMikdash is a much stronger aveira. And since it's a much stronger aveira, we can't just say that an essay is doichet. Then I saw that the Sefer Michas Yehuda says a very nice pshat. He says, if we think about the concept of essay doichel essay, so he suggests that even though anybody who has learned halacha knows that essay doichel essay, Esa Doicha Leisa Say is not something that is really perfect. We have a problem. We have a mitzvah say, we have a mitzvah Leisa Say, and we don't know what to do. And therefore, the Torah tells us, since we don't know what to do, do Esa Doicha Leisa Say. But it's not perfect. And therefore, he says, in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't want mitzvahs to be performed in a not perfect fashion. And doing a mitzvah And an essay doicha lois essay fashion, by definition, means that you're doing it not proper, not perfectly. That's not the way the Torah wants mitzvahs to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. But by saying that, we really open up a whole new conversation. For example, when we learn so often that halacha is tumah hutra b'tzibur, and the question is that when we say the mitzvah is tumah hutra b'tzibur, so now we need to understand that concept. Does that concept mean that it's completely mutter? Or does that concept mean the chuya? We have a problem. Most of Klai Yisrael tameh, most of the Kanim are tameh, so we're going to allow the avoid to be done with tumah. That's a very fundamental discussion. And this explanation, why we don't say Esa Doicha Leisa say in the Beis HaMikdash, is built on the premise that it's only the chuya. It's only something we do reluctantly, but it's not l'chatchila to rely on doing a mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash in an imperfect fashion. And that's why we don't say Esa Doicha Leisa say in the Beis HaMikdash. Another pshat that I saw, and I saw this pshat both from the Meshech Chochma and from Rabbi Yosef Engel Zatzal. When we talk about the rule of Esed Doicha Leisa say, the question that comes up is why indeed is an essay stronger than a Leisa say? If anything, we ought to say that the Leisa say is stronger. Because the Leisa say, somebody violating a mitzvah Leisa say, carries with it a punishment. Somebody violating a mitzvah say, there's no punishment. So if anything, the Lois essay should be stronger than the essay. So the Ramban, in answer to that question, explains the why is there always a rule of essay doicha Lois essay. Says the Ramban, because a mitzvah essay represents a hava. Mitzvah essay represents that you're doing something out of love of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And a mitzvah Lois essay, somebody who's not doing an Aveira is doing it out of Yira. And a Havas Hashem, worshiping, serving Hashem out of a Havas Hashem, is greater than serving Hashem out of Yiras Hashem. And that's why Esei Doicha Leisa say. So they explain, we know that the Pasuk says regarding the Beis HaMikdash, U'memikdash ay tiro. The entire Beis HaMikdash is a place of Yira. That's what the Beis HaMikdash represents. If the Beis HaMikdash represents a place of Yira, now we could understand why in the Beis HaMikdash we can't say Esed Doicha Leisa say, because the whole concept of Esed Doicha Leisa say is based on a Hava being stronger than Yira, but in the Beis HaMikdash, Yira is stronger than a Hava. Rav Ashi says that the reason we don't say Esed Doicha Leisa say, that we should use that concept, that if carbon meat absorbed carbon that's possible, we should say the halacha of Esed Doicha Leisa say to allow us to eat it, because the pasuk says Achash Kosh Yigav Basar Yigdash Esehu. The halacha is that the basar that touches something that's possible, then not only is there a mitzvah Leisa say in eating it, you're also violating a mitzvah say. And says Rav Ashi, even though there's always a rule, ain't Esa Doicha Leisa say, but ain't Esa Doicha Leisa say, vasay. And therefore, the halacha is that we can't do it. So our Gemara has been teaching us the halacha of Achilas Kachin. And there's a very big machlokes achronim in the mitzvah of eating. We just learned there's a mitzvah to eat kachin. When do you fulfill that mitzvah? The opinion of the Chasam Sofer is that you have to eat a kezias. And the Chacham Sofer uses our Gemara as a raya. Because our Gemara says that when you have good carbon meat absorbing possible carbon meat, we can't say, should we say Esed Doicha Leisa say? So we know, says the Chacham Sofer, that we always want to avoid, and we just discussed this, we always want to avoid using the concept Esed Doicha Leisa say. So he says, why don't you just eat less than a kezias of kachim? If there's a mitzvah to eat kachim, even with it less than a kezias, eat less than a kezias, and you won't violate the lois asei. because you only violate the license of ever eating machalos asuras only if you eat a kazayis, but you'll get the mitzvah of eating kachim, and you won't have to rely on esed doicha leisasei. The fact that the Gemara did not offer such a proposal is a raya, says the Chasam Sofer, because eating less than a kazayis of kachim is not a mitzvah. The Beis Halevi disagrees. And the Beis Halevi says that there's no rule that requires that we should eat a kazayis of kachim to be yoytze the mitzvah. The raya he brings is a Gemara that we find in Masechta Pesachim and Masechta Menachos, where the Gemara discusses that they on Shabbos would distribute the lechem upon him, and the Gemara says that they didn't give. Most Kohanim didn't even get a kazayis, and they still were mekayim the mitzvah of eating lechem upon him. The Beis Halevi also makes a very interesting point. He says there are two different types of mitzvahs when the Torah wants us to eat. Sometimes the Torah wants us to do the mitzvah achila. When the Torah wants us to do the mitzvah achila, the halacha is that mitzvah achila is only fulfilled with a kazayis. If you ate less than a kazayis, it's not considered that you did an act of achila. However, sometimes that's not what the Torah is looking for. What the Torah is looking for is that this item that we're talking about should be eaten up. If that's what the Torah is looking for, no one individual has to eat a kazayis, because the halacha will be that as long as what we have is eaten up, even though each individual who ate from it ate less than a kazayis, it doesn't make a difference. And therefore, says the Beis Halevi, the example that he gave a lechem upon him, if the lechem upon him that's being distributed on Shabbos is completely consumed, then it doesn't make a difference if it was eaten, each individual ate a kazayis or less. As long as all of the lechem upon him was eaten up, we fulfilled the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, Ashka Chattas to Miskash Pavlua, we have discovered that the Karma Chattas makes anything that it comes in contact with to have the halacha of that Karma Chattas. But ask the Gemara, Shah Kachim Nolan, how do we know that this halacha applies by other Kachim? Says the Gemara, Amishmu Mashim Rebeleza, the Pasuk says, Zoy Satar Lo'ila Minchal Chattas Lo'asham Lashlamim, Lo'zova Chashlamim. And the Gemara explains, Lo'ila Ki Oila, Ma Oila Tuna Kli, we learn from the oil that just like an oiler requires a vessel, Af Kol Tuna Kli. Ask them, my call, what does that mean? Ilema Mizrak, if you're going to tell me that the Kabbalah's Hadam has to be done with a special bowl that we've spoken about many times, Ilema Mizrak, ask the Gemara, why do we have to learn that from an oiler? The Shalmi Siba Namik Sibo, the Pasuk uses that they had a keli, because the Pasuk says, V'yizbuchu zivchei shlomim, V'yikach Moshe chatzi adam v'yosom ba'agonis. And this is speaking about the kabanas that Moshe Rabbeinu brought, and he had agonis, he had those bowls. Ella, says the Gemara, what the Gemara meant to say, that you use a knife, is sakin. Ask the Gemara that you have to use a knife, a kli shoris, that's a knife, to kill the carbon oiler. Ask the Gemara, and from where do we know that halacha by oila? The ksiv, the pasuk says, "V'yishlach Avram es yada v'yikach es mechalas." V'hasam, the carbon that Avram Avinu brought was oilahi. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, "V'yaleu la oila tachas benoy." So the Brisker Rav asks a question: why, when the Gemara wants to prove that Avram Avinu used a knife, does it speak about the knife that Avram Avinu used to kill the oil? Why doesn't it speak about the machelos, the knife that he wanted to use on Yitzchak? Says the Brisker Rav, that by Yitzchak, the Torah may be required that a machelos, a knife, should be used. But that's only by an Adam. If a person, like Yitzchak Avinu, is being brought as a carbon, that's where perhaps the Torah insisted on a knife. But that can't serve as a raya, that even when we're speaking about an animal, does the Torah require, if it's brought as an oil, it should be a knife? So he brings the Gemara, the pasuk of Yileila Oila Tachs Benoi, which is a pasuk that's speaking about where animal was killed as a carbon oila. And from there we learn that even an animal carbon oila requires a knife.